So let us hear the prayer that the Lord would have us pray together, and then we'll listen to the sermon today. Our gracious Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the gifts of your Son. Thank you for the gifts that we will give and receive this year. May they be for us reminders that everything we have is from above. Every good gift comes from the Father, who gives without any variableness, no shadow of turning. And above all the gifts that you give, chief of all is the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus. And we pray in His holy name. Amen. How many of you remember the Sears and Roebuck catalog? Do you remember which books? Long before Amazon. How many of you were like me, and when we go through the wish book, and when we would see items we wanted mom or dad or whomever to give us, we would dog ear the page so that they would, in a very discerning way, come back and see it and hopefully get the hint that what we wanted was on that page. I'm reminded of that story of the two little boys. They're going to bed before Christmas. And they said, we know we told Santa Claus what we wanted for Christmas, but why don't we pray? And one little 8-year-old is just praying so loudly, Lord, I want a new bike. And he's yelling it almost. And his brother says, you don't have to yell. God's not hard of hearing. He said, I know, but Grandma is, and I want to make sure she hears me. Now, let's not be dishonest. Let's not be, there's no value in being humbugs. We like giving and receiving. We all do. It's nice to give a thoughtful gift. And this is that season. But sometimes we don't get what we expect. Sometimes our expectations are one thing and we get another. Our gifts don't seem to match up. Isaiah lists what our expectations are. We want peace. We want pain to go away. We want chaos and violence to be no more. We want to see everyone just get along. But sometimes we don't get what we expect. Sometimes we get a pair of socks when we expected a new baseball glove. Or we get a case of new canning jars when what we really wanted was that camisole that was hanging in the window. Sometimes we just don't get what we want. Now, sometimes what we want is wrong-headed. We want everything to be okay. We want nothing bad to happen in this coming year. We want our children and our grandchildren to do just swimmingly well, to succeed in everything they do. We want everything to get better and better. And we believe that if we wish hard enough and God loves us enough, we'll get what we want. Well, the truth of the matter is, God didn't promise us that. We stand on His promises, but we need to understand that His promises are not just something where we can do in a Pollyannish way, get exactly what we wish. For He knows us better than that. He knows that, like Garth Brooks saying, if we got everything we hoped for, if we got everything we wished for, if we got everything we prayed for, it probably wouldn't benefit us at the level God wants us to be benefited. So in our passage today in Romans 15, we see two gifts in particular that God gives us at Christmas. Now, of course, we know the gift of Christmas to us is the gift of the Son. But in the Son contains all things. And in this passage, there are two things in particular that we see we're given. The first gift that God has for us is hope. Hope. Hope is not a human accomplishment. Hope is a gift from the Lord. Hope is not something that we muster up. We see in verse 4 of Romans 15 that hope for whatever was written in the Scripture in former times was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. Hope comes from the Scripture. But we also see in verse 13 that hope comes from the Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. He gives us this hope, but hope can come only through the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. I like to say that the Holy Spirit and the Scripture are an old married couple. In the Bible, in the teaching of the Scripture, we only ever see the Spirit working with the Scripture. And the Scripture be illuminated by the Spirit. They are old married couples, and they are the old-fashioned married couple, where when you see one, you always see the other. And when you see the Scripture, the Spirit is there. And when you see the Spirit, He's pointing and illuminating the Scripture. And through both, we are given hope. Hope is that byproduct of a complete faith and trust in the faithfulness of God. One of my favorite movies, maybe still my favorite movie, is Shawshank Redemption. And if you remember one of the prison scenes of Shawshank Redemption, the two main characters, Red and Andy, are talking about the concept of hope. And Red thinks hope is a dangerous thing. Red thinks that it's foolish to hope, because when you hope, all you do is set yourself up for disappointments. You hope for this and you hope for the other, and it just sets you up for a fall. And Andy, I think, taking the more enlightened, more biblical position, tries to argue with Red that hope is, of all things, most essential. For instead of setting us up for the fall, hope is that which gives us the desire and the endurance to continue. If we didn't have hope, we would quit. Now, I would agree with Red that human hope is a dangerous thing. If all we have is a mere wish, we are in the sense of what Emily Dickinson wrote when she said, a thing with feathers that perches in the soul is a thing that is called hope, and it flies away. Against human hoping, or just mere wishing, doubting is safer. It is safer to doubt. For when we doubt, we have no expectations. When we have no expectations, we can't get hurt. And we just live at this base level of joy. But my good news I offer this morning to the Scripture is that we're not just left with human hope. We can have hope that doesn't come from within us, but a hope that's given to us in by God in Christ. This type of hope is guaranteed by a promise. It's guaranteed by the promise of Jesus Christ. But the second thing He gives us is harmony. Look at verse 5 of Romans 15. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, as it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and let all the people extol Him. And again, as Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In Him will the Gentiles hope. This is the season where the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill towards men. I'm going to suggest to you that hope and harmony must go hand in hand. The only way that we have harmonious relationships with God and with each other is we have this deep hope that things can be better. We have this hope that there can be harmony. Have you ever looked in the mirror and questioned whether or not
God could ever really do a work in you? Have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, why do I keep doing the exact same thing over and over again? Have you ever, like Paul thought, the good things I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I swear that I'm not going to do, I wind up doing again. Have you ever looked at yourself and lost all hope, thinking that maybe other people can get this Christian thing, but I can't? Now, have you ever looked at others and thought, how come they can't get it? How come they're acting so difficult? Why are they making so much discord? I can get along so well if, and you can fill in the blank, we just act properly. See, we know whether we're talking about our harmony with the Father or our harmony with each other, it's absolutely impossible to conceive that there can be reconciliation either vertically or horizontally unless we have this hope that we find only in Christ Jesus. See, we read in that great love chapter, which I remind you was not written for an inspirational read during weddings. It was written when there was conflict in the church. And Paul talks about love being patient and love being kind, love enduring all things, love bearing up with all things, love neither counting wrongs nor keeping a record of them. And you remember that last verse in chapter 12 where it says, and seek these three greatest gifts, which are faith, hope, and love. And of these three, which one is the greatest? Love. It's greatest not because it's more essential. It's greatest because it's the only one that's eternal. There'll come a day where you won't need faith, because you'll be in heaven and you'll see and you'll live by sight. There's coming a day that you won't need hope, for you'll be in heaven in the presence of God, and you won't have to hope for that which is right there, for you will see Him as He is. But love is that which is essential. In our Bible study classes last week, one of the people there, Jamie, gave this quote that she sent to him that I'd like to read. It's wonderful. It's from Pastor Bill Frey. And it says, hope is hearing the music of the future. Faith is dancing in it today. Hope is hearing the music of the future. It's not there yet. There's still discord between me and where I want to be. There's still discord between me and a family member, or me and a friend, or me and a neighbor. I don't see the harmony, but I hope and I know the future. And I hear the music of that. And faith is dancing to that music today. And love is the result of the two. When hope and harmony come together, there's that love that comes out. We're encouraged by what we read. It gives us hope. It teaches us to hold on to harmony. It enables us to love. During World War II, there was a story I read this past week about a young Marine that was there, and he had just recently gotten engaged before he was sent over to the combat zone. And you may remember from history, there was a woman named Tokyo Rose. And Tokyo Rose was infiltrating the mind, trying to take the hope away from those that were fighting. She was trying to discourage by using words. And she was telling our American servicemen that their wives and girlfriends back home were not being faithful to them. And they were foolish to continue fighting. That they should become discouraged. They should give up all hope. And they should understand that there is no true love, no true harmony, so why are you fighting? And then one gentleman who went on after the war to write about his time, his name is Kim, he said, the only thing that got me through that
The only thing that was able to put in my mind that this accord that Tokyo Rose and others were trying to create, the only thing that enabled me to continue to have hope and harmony and know that love would prevail was a letter I had from my fiance. And this is what the letter said. Dear Tim, I'm counting the days until our wedding. Of course, I don't know how many it's going to be, so I'm counting up instead of counting down. But just the same, I know every day brings us one day closer. God knows how soon it will be, and He's there with you. I love you. And Tim wrote later, he would read that every night. He'd go to sleep, and he'd wake up the next morning with the hope and the harmony of knowing that he was loved and the sure word of his fiancée would be true. Tim went on to marry her and experienced that harmony and love. Brothers and sisters, the Christmas gift we receive this year is a far surer word. Not in any way doubting Tim's fiance, but we have a far surer word. We have the word of God Almighty Himself, who gives us all hope and all harmony. And we know in due time, love will prevail. And that, for all eternity, the great shalom.